Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll have Brian Howell joining me, great friend of the show, great friend of mine, from Buff Zone. And we'll get into the draft. Not very exciting for the Buffs, but some players getting some opportunities. How shocked was he that Nate Landman did not get picked? Nate was a very good player, maybe great, but injuries and maybe lack of success overall, we'll bust into that. Jabari Walker on the basketball side of things, he's not coming back to Colorado. He's official. It's not like David Roddy, who's still kind of testing the waters to see what his assessment is. Walker is ready. He's moving on. We'll talk to Brian about that in a moment. But first, Jades, we do this every day because the NFL is king, and we will get to today in the NFL. Couple of interesting stories in the NFL wires today, or coming out last night and into the morning. Arizona Cardinals star wideout DeAndre Hopkins has been suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. The league announced Monday, so he's out for 6 games. That's a tough one. That's a tough one for the Cardinals. The Cardinals, I'm telling you, man, I mean, the Trey McBride move is a pretty big move. And then you add, you know, obviously mix him in with what you could do with DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm thinking the Cardinals, who started off red hot last year and then really fizzled out, really struggled in those playoffs, might be an interesting team. But this is going to be something to watch out for. Hopkins brand manager Doug Sanders wrote in a text message to ESPN's Adam Schefter that a test in November returned trace elements of a banned substance, and that test in both the month before and were negative. So Hopkins then comes out and tweets and says, "I was confused and shocked. I'm very mindful of what I put into my body and have always taken a holistic approach, so I'm working with my team to investigate how this could have happened." He said this, "But even as careful as I have been, clearly I wasn't careful enough. For that, I apologize to Cardinals fans, my teammates, and the entire Cardinals organization. I never want to let my team down. I fully intend to get to the bottom of this. As soon as I have more information, I will share it." This suspension came just a few days after the Cardinals traded their first-round pick in the 2022 draft to the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday for wide receiver Mr. Brown. Mr. Marquise Brown. I mean, that's an interesting thing, man. What did they know at that time? More NFL news. Tanking. At least that's what Hugh Jackson was claiming he was told to do by the Browns. Okay, I'm trying not to laugh because I know that there's serious stuff surrounding these allegations. And if that's the case, it's bad. And there's a lot of bad things about it. But I don't know why. It's just funny to me. Like Hugh Jackson. Why am I blanking out on the Miami Dolphins coach that came out and said he was told to tank? What is his name? Why am
Flores?
Yes, thank you. So like I feel like Hugh Jackson was like, "Oh yeah, me too. That's what I was doing. That's why I was terrible. They did the same thing to me. Yeah, that's why I was not a good coach. Because they told me to tank, man. That's trust me. I wanted to win, but I couldn't do it because they wanted me to lose." The NFL said Monday that an independent review found no evidence to substantiate allegations made by former Cleveland Browns head coach Hugh Jackson that the team intentionally lost games in 2016 and 17. Jackson was fired by the Browns owners. D and Jimmy Haslam fired him 8 games into the 18th season with a 3-36-1 overall record in 2+ years. I mean, hey, Hugh, we want you to lose, man, but maybe make it look like you're not trying so hard to lose. You know, we don't want people to catch on. Maybe you could be like 7-29 or something like that. You know, 7-29. Maybe 10-30 or something. That would be a little, but 3-36-1, dude, you're not hiding that very well. You're not hiding it. It's very obvious that you're trying to lose, right? So we got to move on. Well, they couldn't find it. They did some digging. And in this day and age where they're digging up your emails and texts and all that stuff, this is interesting. You know, if there was smoke, maybe there was some fire, but doesn't seem to be the case here. In February, Jackson got on Twitter, indicated in a series of posts that the team paid him bonuses, incentivizing him to lose, and that he was set up to fail. Jackson later softened those allegations. Maybe they were giving him bonuses, but he read it wrong. We're giving you bonuses to not lose. And then maybe he like skimmed over it and didn't see the not part. And he saw bonuses to lose? Jackpot! Come on. I mean, it's all bizarre to me. I don't know, man. But I mean, Jackson did back off of some of those claims at some point. So it's not like, I mean, he started to go back on it a little bit. They had a 60-day review. Independent investigators led by former Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Mary Jo White determined that none of the allegations could be substantiated. The league said that Jackson initially agreed to meet with the investigators, but ultimately did not. So he agreed, but ultimately did not. Interesting. The league still says there may be some things that they're going to look into. They also said Jimmy Haslam was interviewed, as were other current and former members of the organization. The Browns also provided documents to help investigators. Interesting story. Interesting. That's kind of gone away for the most part. Cincinnati Bengals plan to show they aren't a one-hit wonder. Playing like they got something, they got a chip on their shoulder still. The Bengals are an interesting one, man. Nobody picked them, really. Like, when the playoffs started, did anybody really pick them to go all the way to the Super Bowl? I know I didn't. The Bengals started their voluntary offseason workouts this week. One of their players, Mike Hilton, their cornerback, said the team is looking to prove to skeptics that the defending AFC champions are legitimate contenders. Hilton says he has a hunch why people believe the Bengals are a one-hit wonder. He says, because it's the Bengals, point blank period, Hilton said. When you think of the Bengals, you're like, oh, the Bengals, you know. But now, with this group of guys that we have and the coaches that we have, we're really turning this organization around, and we're just trying to get the respect that we deserve. Well, you know, that historic run, man. I mean, the Bengals hadn't made the postseason since 2015. They hadn't won a playoff game since January of 1991. Hadn't played in the Super Bowl since 1989. After being the worst team in the NFL in 19, they finally get to the Super Bowl. It's kind of a cool deal for them. It's kind of a cool story. Do you believe in the Bengals, though? Seriously, they're a playoff team, right? They got better. Didn't they help their offensive line? They got better. But do you really think that this is the type of team that can go back? Can they get back to the Super Bowl? That's a tall task. I don't believe in them. We'll see. 14 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with our guy, Brian Howell of the Buff Zone. Talk all things Buffs. Before we do that, though, shout out to Miranda Simpson. Having someone local has never been more important. She's here and ready to help you with all of your insurance needs. She's local. She's working throughout Northern Colorado. She's a lifetime member of the Colorado State Alumni Association. They focus on auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters, life, and business insurance in Northern Colorado. Call Miranda Simpson at State Farm today at 970-223-7800. 14 minutes after the hour, talk to our guy, Brian Howell. Next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 20 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, great friend of mine, great friend of the show's, Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Brian, my man, it's always good to catch up with you. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you doing this offseason?
You know, it's been a weird offseason. It just seems to get weirder for everybody. And Brian, everybody's going through the portal stuff. We're talking about NIL stuff, but man, it does seem like the Buffs, and I'm not like trying to single them out, but it does seem like the Buffs were hit pretty damn hard with the transfer portal news.
Yeah, although in the latest round, nothing. So it seems like things have kind of settled down for them. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, you look at what's going on around the country, and I think it was such a big deal in the winter. Obviously, you know, they did get hit hard. I'm not going to, you know, try to say they didn't, right? They did get hit hard. But you look around and, I mean, ASU has been hit hard as well. I mean, they've lost some of their best players. You know, you look today and now, you know, Pitt receiver Jordan Addison is in the transfer portal, the Blitnikoff winner. So, you know, there's a lot of really good players that have left their teams and have got hit pretty hard. So, you know, it's a crazy world right now. And the Buffs somehow weathered it you know, managed to avoid having more players leave this spring.
Well, and it's worth asking now, and most of the time, Brian, it does seem like this is just the nature of the beast now. I mean, the coach can be the greatest guy in the world or the worst. You're going to see a fairly similar amount. I mean, we're seeing guys left and right. I mean, we were just talking about a really good defensive lineman for UNC that we saw at spring ball last week who looked happy and engaged and pumped. And then the next day he says, hey, I'm in the transfer portal. So, again, I don't know that we can always go to something wrong, but, Brian, we have to ask the question. I mean, is there any deeper thing going on other than this is the nature of the beast? And just Colorado's certainly had their time with it.
Yeah, I think it's just the nature of the beast. And, you know, there was a player – you know, the last 2 weeks of the season last year, when I would interview players, I would ask them, hey, what are you kind of thinking here? And there was one of them, I asked point blank, are you looking to transfer? And he said, no, I'm not going anywhere. A month later, he was in the transfer portal. He's playing for somebody else right now. So you just never know. I mean, I think it's the nature of the beast. You know, I think these players are hearing things from a lot of different people. And, you know, I think that right now it's still very new. I mean, it was a year ago in April that the rules were allowed that people could transfer without sitting out a year. So, and NIL came up last summer. So this is all very new. I think it settles down over time, but this is the first year of it, and a lot of people are taking advantage of it.
I'm with you. I do think that it's going to settle down at some point. I think players are going to see other stories out there of grass isn't always greener, NIL deals getting you into trouble. What? Not necessarily trouble, but just maybe too much time spent on everything. I do think that a lot of it's going to round out. Doesn't mean it's going to clean up, you know, all the way, but I think some of it will actually round out in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, to me, the NIL was set up for, you know, I think of people like Jeremy Bloom, who we all know, and it's years ago. Mm. Maybe a lot of the young people don't remember him, but, you know, he fought his battle with the NCAA years ago when he was a CU football player and ended up being ruled he couldn't play football because of his skiing endorsements. He was an Olympic skier. I think it was set up for people like that. It's set up for people like a Caleb Williams, who's going to be a big-time star, you know, like Trevor Lawrence used to be, things like that. You know, you see really now every player is almost out there saying, hey, please throw me some money. Well, there's not all that money to be thrown around. And, you know, I think that over time players are going to realize there's not a lot of money out there. It's for a select few. And that's where it's going to settle down. And I think that we'll see some of that kind of even out. And, you know, you look at the transfer portal, and, you know, I think coaches and schools like to throw it out. Look at how many people have gone in the portal and not found a new home. So there's a lot of guys that have given up scholarships for something that really isn't there.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. It's a completely different world that we're navigating through, and I think student-athletes are looking more and more into it as well, and we're going to see it. It's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing kind of plays out. How's Carl Durrell doing? You talked to him quite a bit, Brian. How's he doing with all this stuff? We've talked to him for, you know, off and on about this stuff, but man, it absolutely is chaos right now, regardless of how this thing's going to wrap up. But how's Coach doing?
Yeah, I think he's adapting. I think, you know, like a lot of coaches are. And I don't know, you know, I don't follow a lot of programs as closely as I do Colorado, obviously. So I don't know how well he's adapting as opposed to others. But I think everybody's trying to adapt right now. And for Carl Durrell, I mean, geez, what a way to come back into college football after all those years in the NFL, right?
Right.
I mean, as soon as you come back, you got a pandemic you got to deal with. And then NIL, then the transfer portal, all this stuff. So, you know, it's like, welcome back, Carl. So, you know, I think he's adjusting. And frankly, I will say this, the other side of the portal is I think teams are using, taking advantage of that as well. You know, a lot of CU's, you know, transfer portal guys are people that the coaches, you know, went to and said, hey, you're not going to play here. You know, you need to go in the portal. And that gives teams an opportunity to get out of, it's almost, you know, a way for teams to waive players. And I think that's what we've seen CU do a lot, you know, a lot of teams as well. But I think that's where, you know, one thing that we've seen, CU lost like 22 guys, but most of those were people that, you know, they pretty much said, hey, you're not going to get much of an opportunity here. It's best to move on. So I think that that's where Carl Durrell's trying to learn how to navigate. How do I manage my roster here by using the portal to our advantage?
Brian, what do you think needs to happen? I mean, we've been talking about this a lot throughout the years when the idea was really coming up. And then obviously this last year, I know we do some stuff with NIL, and I've certainly had players on that have transferred and I'm interviewing them after the fact. Some people have suggested, you know, you go back to NIL deals, you cap if you can or something like that. Transfer portals, though, that's the interesting one because no matter what, you got to feel like you're constantly re-recruiting these guys. To me, there seems like there's got to be some more regulation to it as we progress here, because this is, it does feel like it's a wild, wild west, like the Jetsons, just all these spacecrafts flying all over each other.
Yeah, no question. And I'm not sure where to, you know, begin on some of the stuff with regulation, especially with NIL. I do think there will be some regulation at some point. With the transfer portal, you know, to me, what makes the most sense, and you know, we'll see if they go to this or not, but I think there needs to be certain periods of time that athletes have to put their name in the portal. Right now, it's a free-for-all, and you can put your name in at any time. And there is a deadline, you know, like May 1st was a deadline to put your name in the portal to play this next year. So there is that. But I do think that they need to have, you know, a sort of a time period, and you say, hey, you got these 2 weeks after the football season where you need to decide portal or not. And then after that, you can't go in the portal.
Yeah.
Because that allows people, I think that forces kids to make a decision. And, you know, and I think it allows the teams to be able to manage their roster better, because, you know, it's tough when, you know, you get through that December period, like if you're CU, right? And they lost several good players in December. And then you start up school again in January, and all of a sudden you have another round that leaves, you know, and you think you're, I mean, you're already starting off-season workouts, and all of a sudden, hey, your top cornerback decides to leave, and you know, some of the, you know, running back decides to leave, things like that, and you're like, okay, well, now we got to regroup again. So I think there should be some sort of a, you know, two time periods, like maybe 2 weeks at the end of the season, and then 2 weeks at the end of spring ball, where you decide this is where you need to figure out, are you leaving or staying?
Brian, I have a question for you on this, and I don't know that I've ever got the answer just yet. I've even asked players Before you go to the transfer portal, is there a way, and is this happening, where maybe word gets out to you that this school might want you? And again, it's from a third party, so it's not the coach, it's not his assistants, but it's somebody else that says, hey, FYI, I hear Kent State's sniffing around and could sure use a defensive lineman like you. That's the only way this is happening, right? Because I look at the UNC guy, for example, and I go, man, he seemed happy. He seemed cool. Like you said, you talk to these players and they're fine. Do they get a whiff of something and then decide? Because that's what and again, I know there are players that have bad experiences, but what about the ones that are fine with where they are and then suddenly they hear, okay, I'm being headhunted, which we're trying to avoid, but that's got to be happening, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and there's ways to get around everything, right? And, you know, and I think there's always ways to get around those things. And it could be that, I mean, think about these coaches are on the recruiting trail, right? And so let's just say the UNC player, right? And you're the head coach at Arizona State, and you like this UNC player. He's not in the portal yet, but you're recruiting, you know, kids from his high school. You tell his high school coach, man, I wish he was at Arizona State instead of UNC. We would take him in a heartbeat. Mm. Now all of a sudden his high school coach calls him and says, hey, you know what? If you go in the portal, ASU will take you. Now he leaves and he goes to ASU. So, you know, that's just a mythical example I gave there. But I think stuff like that happens. You know, it's got to happen. And there's probably some that are blatant where you might go to the player and that's illegal. But I think it's more probably third party type of thing where you say, hey, if this guy found out that we were interested, would he go in the portal? You know, I think a lot of that stuff happens.
It's crazy. It seems like such a casual thing, but so many ramifications coming from that kind of thinking, too. So it's a completely different world, Brian. Navigating through it is no doubt a difficult task. How are the Buffs fans doing after, you know, I know you had tweeted this out. I was shocked Nate Landman didn't get drafted. I mean, was it the injury situation? What was it? But that led to kind of a rough draft weekend for Buffs fans. As you pointed out, first time since what, 2016 that no Colorado Buffaloes have been drafted?
Yeah, they went 2 years in a row, 2015-16 with nobody, and then they had somebody 5 years in a row, and this was the first year without. And I was surprised. I mean, I actually thought Carson Wells was more surprising because I think he was viewed as a better pro prospect by some people I talked to just because of his versatility, and he is faster than Nate Landman, and you know, speed is the name of the game in the NFL. So I was surprised that neither one of them got drafted. You know, whether you know it was Nate or Carson, I thought some team would fall in love with them and you know draft them late sixth, early seventh round, something like that. But to watch the whole thing, and you know, I'm sitting there, you know, kids got musicals, all this stuff. I'm constantly you know refreshing my phone, watching every pick, waiting for them to go, and then I'm like, all right, two picks left.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was surprising. You know, I think that. And it's a bad reflection on maybe the talent at CU, but I think there's more talent at CU than that shows, and those two guys surprised me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was very shocked by that. Do you think, though, you know, obviously injuries and that kind of thing, because I know, Carl, you look at both of those guys and thinking, man, there's a good chance that they're going to be middle of the draft, kind of so to speak. So I'm with you. I was absolutely floored.
Yeah, you know, and with a guy like Carson Wells, you know, maybe I just don't know football, but I've watched this guy throughout his career. And, you know, in 2020, I know it was a shortened season. He leads the country in tackles for loss, and the Pac-12 coaches vote him honorable mention all conference. And then this last year, he's second in the conference in tackles for loss, and he's honorable mention all conference. So yeah, maybe the people that know football don't think he's that good because they're not voting him into any of these things. And then, you know, the people that know football, you know, don't draft him. So, and maybe I just don't know the game, but you know, I watch this guy and I'm like, man, that's a really good football player. And I watch Nate Landman, I think the same thing. I mean, Landman was one of the most enjoyable players I got to watch over the last several years. I mean, just he was so fun to watch play linebacker.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you too. I look at a lot of these local guys that we follow with the Buffs, and you know, I'm not quite sure. I would say there were a lot of Bears players that I would say obviously are going to be in the NFL. Some guys are getting some cracks at it, and good for them. But CSU, I thought there'd be more than Trey McBride. Maybe I thought if you're going to draft four punters, I thought Ryan Stonehouse might be one of those guys. So Brian, I'm with you, man. I'm looking at all this stuff. I'm like, maybe I'm just too damn close to it because there was a lot of talent in the area, and to come away with really what only one guy drafted between, you know, from your neck of the woods all the way up north here is kind of astonishing to me.
Yeah, you know, four punters drafted and how, you know, one of the top two in the country doesn't get drafted is, you know, it's weird.
It is weird.
I don't understand NFL mind sometimes. You know, it doesn't make sense. I look at some of these guys, I'm looking at, there was a guy drafted, I can't even pronounce the school, but from a school I'd never heard of, and he was a linebacker. I'm like, wait a minute, how is that guy better than Nate Landman or Carson Wells?
You know? Right.
But I don't know. And like you said, maybe we're too close to it. But, you know, I'm looking at, you know, linebackers I'd never heard of that are getting drafted and thinking, geez, I thought that Nate was better than that or Carson was better than that. But, you know, I think sometimes maybe we do get too close to it. And the bottom line is, there's a lot of really good football players who don't get drafted. And, you know, I look at Utah. was another one. Utah, you know, a couple of years ago had like 10 or 11 guys drafted. I think they had one this year, you know, after the season that they've had and the run they've had. So, you know, there was a ton of guys that didn't get drafted that surprised me. So, I don't know. There's a lot of really good talent out there, but I thought that those two guys, I thought Ryan Stonehouse is a draft pick, you know, so who knows? It's a crazy world.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Tend to side with you on that. Jabari Walker, how about that? So all in for the NBA draft, Brian. There's no testing the waters or anything. He is officially no longer a Buff. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, that's the word from his father. And we'll see. From what I've heard, you know, he has not yet hired an agent. And until he does that, it's not really official. You know, we'll see with him, but it does sound like he's probably all in. I mean, he's a future pro. I mean, he's got pro talent. He's a guy, whether he goes this year, goes next year, he's going to be a pro. And, you know, I can see both sides of it. I think that he could use another year in college to develop under Tad Boyle and that staff. But, you know, for a guy like that, you know, his dad's been in the NBA and, you know, he knows a lot of, you know, NBA people, maybe he benefits a lot from not worrying about school and he gets to go work on his game either with an NBA team or with a G League team, something like that. Maybe you develop that way too. So that's a guy that clearly he's going to be a pro, and apparently he's ready to go now.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think he's going to be really good once he does get into the NBA. Brian, man, always appreciate you, dude. What are you working on that we could check out? You've been all over it, so I've been following you. I was like, man, we got to get Brian back on the show very soon.
Yeah, just kind of wrapping things up from spring and kind of stockpiled some spring interviews towards the end of that session there. And so rolling out some features, and I'll have something, you know, later on this week kind of looking ahead to, you know, what the 2023 draft might look like for the Buffs. And I'm always wrong on that, but it's still fun to look at, you know, see where they might land there. So we'll have some of those things coming up.
All right, my man. I'll look forward to it. As always, Brian Howell of the Buff Zone. Brian, we'll catch up with you soon, man. 36 minutes after the hour. All right, we're going to do it. We're going to do it, man. We got the Colorado Avalanche getting set for their first round of the playoffs going up against the Nashville Predators. Jades, we're going to do the Hype House. We're going to do the Hype House, something we've been working on, pump up for big games. We're going to get going for this one, even though, you know, I'm the hockey guy. Jade's not the hockey guy. We are going to build this up. We're going to have fun with it. We're going to be following playoff hockey. I'm ready tonight. I'm going to get my game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor from New Belgium Brewing in Fort Collins. Dominga Mimosa Sour. Pick up selections from New Belgium Brewery or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. On the Rocks Liquor, locally owned and operated, man. We love John and Tony. Great, amazing people. They're going to hook us up tonight. We're going to bring you the Hype House coming up next. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick for a quick look at the Sports Flash.
Hey, Nugget fans. This is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Come on.
Welcome back in. It's the whole show. Glad you're here. So we got, you know, the Avalanche going at it tonight against the Predators in game one. And listen, I'm not the biggest hockey guy, okay? You know that. But we're going to try. That's what we do. We are going to learn about some playoff hockey, man. We are going to get into it. The Avs, the Predators, favored by a goal and a half tonight. The Avs are going to work this thing, man. And they do. They have superstars. We ask the question, like, who's going to win the most titles in the next 5 years, next 10 years, whatever, from now till whenever. Avalanche got to be leading that. Got a great group. Like, how about Cale Makar, man? Let's get after it for tonight. Let's see what he can do.
Back to McKinnon. Rink wide. Here's Makar to the dot. Walks it in. Cale Makar gets and scores! Cale Makar! Pull another tool out of the toolbox. A little dangle, a little shooty-shoot.
A little shooty-shoot, man. I love the Moj. We're going to get him on the show on Thursday. How about that? We'll get him on the show Thursday talking about this Avs team. That's got to do it tonight. I know the second round is their bugaboo, but you can't look past it. You got to handle your business against Nashville tonight. I know they got a backup goalie in. I get it. But you got to take full advantage of the situation tonight. And I look for this team to just go off tonight. Absolutely go off when you have right wings like Mikko Rantanen doing the job out there. You got to feel pretty confident in what this Avs team can do.
Comes Mikko with McKenna. Rantanen. A little dangle move down low. Rantanen shoots and scores! Mikko Rantanen, a highlight reel goal.
A little dangle. I like that. James, we got to come up with words tonight that we can use. Stuff we can use, man. You got to be fast. What is it? Got to be faster. You got to score more goals. Hit them harder, and you know what the fourth thing is? Want it more. You gotta want it more. Nobody wants it more than Nathan freaking McKinnon.
Now got it back. Gave it to the near side. Quick shot. Score! Nathan McKinnon with another one-timer. Rips it home past the blocker of Markstrom.
Love Nathan McKinnon. He's one of the GOATs, right? He's on his way. Certainly on his way. Cool thing is, though, any team, whoever you are, I don't care, when you get your captain back, when you get your leader back on the ice, back on the floor, back on the field, I don't care if you limped into the playoffs, there's a guy on this team that's going to help lead this team to victory, and that's Gabriel Landeskog.
Far side on Turris, back to EJ it goes, goal line extended. Back to Landeskog. Scores! Gabe Landeskog sends it through short side. It ricochets in. It ricochets out. And the Avs have taken a 1-0 lead.
You know that's a boost, right? Yeah, they were licking their wounds for a good portion of April. But this team, man, I'm telling you, you don't need to be a genius to see that the Avs are legit. And you know what? Playoffs always comes down to a lot of things, but especially the goalie. How about Darcy Kuemper?
Got a pursuit of a man on the far side. The Lightning's looking to the near side. Chernak, a long shot. Save! Oh, my goodness! Oh. Darcy Kuemper sweeps it off the goal line with his stick. Kuemper reached back, and he swept it off the goal line.
I love it, man. All right, let's go, Avs. Take them down tonight. We'll be right back.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Special time of year, man. I know the Nuggets aren't in the playoffs anymore, but the Avs are. The Rockies are in full swing. You got to get your man caves looking good, man. The offices, the lobbies, the basements, whatever it is. No Limit Collectibles can help you with that. They also have an amazing card collection. Stop by and listen, if you're looking for something, Ken's going to find it. That's the thing. Maybe you got kids right now that are just getting into the collection. Maybe you're still collecting. There's a lot of people. I'm still into it, man. I love cards. I love basketball and football cards. That's my jam. No Limit Collectibles will get you going. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. They're now located in Greeley, right next to Cables, kind of in that same block, that same square. So when you stop by, tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. All right, what's on the tube tonight? I, for one, am still having fun watching the NBA playoffs. It is a little bittersweet, and I want to get into this more tomorrow, Jades. We didn't touch this, but, you know, just how far away are the Nuggets when you watch teams like Phoenix? You know, when you're watching Golden State and Memphis, and we obviously saw how far away Denver was from Golden State. But Yeah, I always do that. You know, when your team is done, whether they're eliminated from the playoffs or they didn't make the playoffs, I look at the rest of the league and say, okay, who's the top dogs here? Who's the teams to beat? And Phoenix certainly is a team to beat. Now the Booker's back. He looked sharp last night for the most part. How far away are the Nuggets? And, you know, Jamal and Michael Porter Jr., as excited as I am about that crew, and I do think that's good enough to get you past the first round. Is that a fully healthy Porter and Murray? Are they, can they compete with Phoenix? Maybe. It's hard to answer that right now because you don't know what you're going to get next season with Jamal. I was watching highlights or lowlights. Michael Porter Jr., I think that was when he kind of messed his back up, but he goes up for that. He's a tall dude, just easy dunk, wide open, nobody's on him. Breakaway dunk, just hits the rim. Doesn't, I mean, I'm just looking at weird stuff like that that happens. I'm like, it's not as superstar-y as when you watch Booker do it. As when you watch some of these other guys do. I mean, look at Luka last night. Luka was a man possessed and just didn't ultimately have the help. But I would love to see Luka in a Nuggets uniform. I'm pretty sure it's the most obvious question ever, but you trade Jamal and MPJ for Luka in a heartbeat, right? Yeah, absolutely. Dallas wouldn't. That's like, people like to throw those around. I'm like, Dallas isn't going to do that. Although Luka would love to play with the Joker, and it doesn't sound like the Joker's going anywhere. I'm bringing it up, and I know it sounds far-fetched, Jades, but it's not that far-fetched. Luka and Joker are tight, are really good friends. And the fact that Joker's like, dude, I'm not going anywhere. I'll sign a max contract as soon as it's available. Let's go. Who knows? A guy can dream somewhere down the road. We'll see. Avalanche going at it tonight, 7:30 on ESPN against Nashville. I'll be watching. I'll be live tweeting. I'll be at it tonight. Yes, there will be uneducated hockey tweets, but it'll be a lot of fun. Rockies going at it against Washington tonight. Yeah, 6:40. Marquez going to the mound. Let's grab a win. Rocks gets 14. How about this? Rocks gets 14. Avs go up 1-0. Yeah, tonight in the NBA, Golden State and Memphis. Drama there with Draymond Green. Before that one, 5 o'clock on TNT, all of them on TNT tonight. Milwaukee and Boston. Milwaukee. Boston's favored. Can Milwaukee go up 2-0? Steal them both on the road? Going to be a fun night of sports, I'll tell you that. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.